way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
We are living in exciting times. We are living in perilous days. We are living in exciting times, and we are living in perilous days. But the Lord says, take heart, take heed, my beloved, for I am with you. I am going before you in all things. I am going before you to take out the demonic powers that surround various societal structures, the workplace, the schools, the libraries, the churches, families, relationships, everything that contains my being, I am going after, saith the Lord. I'm going after with a vengeance. But remember this, my beloved, you will remain standing. You will remain standing. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 7. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, you hem me in. Behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? The word of the Lord.
Time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. And time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah, they'll be drinking, marrying, laughing. As in the days of Noah, what a fool, they say, to build a boat on sand. What a fool, they say. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. As in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. And what a fool, they say, to fast and pray. And what a fool, they say, come on, it's been 2,000 years. Do you really think that he's coming? Come on, let's just get real. But remember this first, that many, many, many scoffers will come. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late. It's too late. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late. It's too late. As in the days of Noah, it's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. The 1 day, 2 days, 3 days gone by, and time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. People get ready, Jesus is coming. And many, 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 many scoffers will rise in that day, and they'll say, it's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained
Hello. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We just thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for what you are doing in your people that you have chosen to be your people, that you've chosen by name, that you've called according to your purposes that you have for them in Christ Jesus. We just thank you. Hi, I'm Dr. Shirley Caniff here, I'm a media missionary here on Faith Talks Live Prayer 24/7 online prayer group chat, as well as general manager of WSCIRO, which is C Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. I just want to say hi to all my friends out there in Facebook land and YouTube land and any of the other media outlets out there that actually have access to the video and or radio. I'm trying a new thing today. I'm going to be doing a simultaneous broadcast as we talk about what's on God's heart and pray into the spirit realm of what God wants to put into the heart of his people. There are times that the Lord reveals his plans and purposes to his beloved bride, the body of Christ, and then it's up to us, all right, to accept what he is revealing, what our beloved bridegroom king is revealing from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's up to us to say yes, to give our fiat, like Mary gave to the angel Gabriel, when the angel Gabriel made the announcement that she is to be the mother of Jesus and that she is to be overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? As the Holy Spirit hovered over her and she conceived Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So are we called to receive from the Holy Spirit and conceive, all right, the things in the Holy Spirit that he's called us to walk in as members of the body of Christ, as his beloved bride, and as family, too. So there's a lot there, huh? Yeah, all this love just flowing around, okay? So before then, what I want to do is offer up some prayer petitions that have been posted on the wall of Faith Talks Live Prayer, and has gone to our members simultaneously. And I just want to just offer my apologies for not being faithful to my schedule here. Things have gotten busy. We have posted, my husband Jeff and myself have posted a schedule on the prayer chat. First of all, it could somehow ground us, but at the same time, people could be looking specifically at those times. We may not always be available because of life circumstances and situations. But we always come to the group chat as the Holy Spirit leads us, which is a couple of times a day and things like that. And sometimes I may just post if I can't be at my computer for an extended period of time. And it's just the way that it is. And we just had a very unusual winter with so much snow. And I am in an externship at the medical facility that I am actually training in. And so, that took a lot of the time away from from you, and I want to just apologize, okay? So, and I really believe that God wants to do an awesome work in your heart, because that's his job. That's what he's all about. Okay, that's how, because he so desires for us to be a people unto him, and he wants so much for us to look like him, act like him, smell like him, and just be the image that he's of him that he's called us to be through Jesus. Okay, amen. So I just want to lift up Jimmy Moss and his sister-in-law, Hazel. They basically witnessed the death of somebody got into a car accident in the family. I believe it was, I wanted to say, I just want to go right to it. Okay, so Jimmy posted, pray for my sister-in-law Hazel Moss, her mother Rosita Holland, and her brothers and sisters. Their brother and son got hit by a car, and it was like right in the streets near where he lives in Gastonia, North Carolina. Marvin died after arriving at the hospital. A sister Jean and Miles, a brother, saw.
The time is 7 o'clock p.m.
Saw their brother lying in the street after the speeding car hit him, and it looks like it might have been a hit and run. So I just want to just pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you know, Lord, that you would be with Jimmy's sister and La Hazel and their mother in this time of loss, and that you would release to them your strength in healing, Lord, and anything that is any fears of cars and any trauma that the witnesses have experienced as they saw Marvin die, Lord, that you would just take away any bad memories of the accident, any post-trauma, and Lord, that you would put it within them, you know, a desire to pray for the individual who hit and ran, and then also pray for repentance and pray for forgiveness too, that the repentance on behalf of the person who hit and ran, but also and pray for his conversion as well. And we also want to pray for forgiveness, that the family would forgive the person who the enemy used to rob the life of the precious beloved Marvin. And we just thank you, Jesus. Lord, if there's any ounce of faith in them, you know, use it for your glory, for you know the perfect thing that they need in this hour of intense grief and pain. We unite all of this to the cross of Jesus, and we ask for a remedy for the situation, that, Lord, that you would release your resurrection power within them, your resurrection power in your glory that is specific for the situation. Lord, only you know what they need in this hour. In Jesus' holy name, give them a big hug from heaven and fill them up with a deep lingering sense of peace that only you can bring. And we ask all of this in a mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And my friend Shelley, my friend and student and ministry partner Shelley Newman, evangelist Shelley Newman from Kentucky, had posted a prayer petition earlier this week too. So I want to get to that one right now as we stand in agreement with the prayer petition, and kind of going up and down on the Facebook page there. That's what I'm reading before you. Let me see. Let me go down there. Yeah. Here we go. Yes, this is a ongoing prayer need. Most prayer needs are ongoing because, you know, when the widow kept knocking on the door of the unjust judge, okay, when the persistent widow, they called her persistent, okay, was knocking on the door of the unjust judge, the judge, you know, got so bothered, and he answered her request and gave her what she asked for. And so that's how persistent we need to be in prayer for one another. We're called to persistent prayer. So this definitely is one of persistent prayer. And Shelley says, pray for one of our friends named Brandy Cansey. She just got sober. She got off drugs, and she was in an abusive relationship. And she suffered badly in that relationship. She suffered with broken ribs, bruises, and choke marks. And the man is in jail right now. She is so afraid and wants to turn to the Lord. She has to testify against this man to keep him in jail. Little sounds she jumps to, so she's got that post-trauma. She is that terrified, and she doesn't want to be in the same room with this man. She wants to turn her life around, and at the, you know, so she Shelley's called to minister to her, and that's the beauty of Shelley. She's just like Jesus to many people in need, and she can feel and sense and discern the need in the spirit for many of these people that a lot of people, you know, for their own, because they are not in that place to come to the, you know, to the aid of brokenhearted people in the person of Jesus, that she's able to be there, you know, because of the heart of Jesus that is very strong in her. So I just want to pray right now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we speak your peace and your shalom into this circumstance and situation that Brandy is facing. Lord, calm the storm and raging sea that is within her, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say, peace, be still, and set the captives free. And Lord, we just ask specifically, Lord, that you would, in her weakness, you would be her strength, that when she sees this man, that she is strong, she becomes strong in you. And we ask for justice for the situation. But we also ask for mercy as well, that this would become a prayer point for Brandy as she becomes stronger in her faith. We ask, Lord, also for a persistent faith, a greater measure of faith that she would place in you, to the author and finisher of her faith, to turn her life around. So we thank you, Jesus. We ask for a greater transformation, and we ask for the grace of transformation in Jesus' holy name. We tie and bind the spirit of oppression too, generational and also societal oppression in Jesus' mighty name. And we tie and bind and break the spirit of fear that is responsible for post-trauma and the memories that go along with it, Lord. We ask for a healing of her mind, Lord, of all the thoughts that make up her personhood. We ask, Jesus, that you would just go in there one by one by one and minister to her tenderly. We ask for your mind to be transposed over her mind. We thank you for the healing of the mind and any stronghold thinking that is causing her to always end up in these situations, or causes her to abuse her body in any way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we cast all those strongholds that are present in her mind down and place it beneath the feet of Jesus. We plead the blood over her life, over her inner life, as well as her external life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus, and we thank you that from here on, that no weapon fashioned or formed against her, in the mighty name of Jesus, will prosper. We place this battle in your hands for Brandy's life. We ask, Lord, for a release of all the holy angels, the angels of protection, to come around her, as Lord, you would build her dwelling place in which she lives, in which you reign in her. In Jesus' name. And we also pray for the peace of Jerusalem over her mind, her body, her soul, her spirit, her will, and her emotion. In Jesus' holy name. We say no more to the abuse. We ask, Lord, that you would just close the door to any future abuse, whether it be self-inflicted or whether it be inflicted externally from the hands of others. In Jesus' name. And give her new friends you know, love you with everlasting love, and that are called according to that you have called by name. We thank you, Jesus, and that you call to be her friends in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just want to pray now, Father, on that one, and I believe that this is all of the petitions right now, but the Lord has so many that he wants to answer, and this prayer also goes out to anyone who has loved ones that were caught up in these very bad abusive situations. that feel like they have no way out. We ask, Lord, that you would be their way out, and in the mighty name of Jesus, and we say no more, Lord, that you would close the door to future abuse, and that you would begin your resurrection redemption program in their life. You would begin that in the mighty name of Jesus. You know the tools that they need, Lord, and we ask that you would just bring these tools into their midst, whether it be people, whether it be situations. You know what it would take, Lord, to get them to the place that you want them to be. Amen. Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come for these people. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for thank you, Jesus, for we thank you that the battle is yours. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shikara mashanda kodiya mashi. Oriya mashababa. Shakariya masotiya mashita. Thank you, Lord. Shikete te miyata mashota. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, well, we're going to take a closer look at what the Lord is doing, in his people in 2011. There's been a series of prophecies, not just by my, prophetic words given at the beginning of 2011 and maybe even New Year's Eve what the Lord has for his people. The Lord has been ministering to me in dreams and visions for a long time, but increasing. It's come in increasing increments since the latter part of 2010 and even now. And as I did a lot of the radio broadcasts on the dreams as they came up, and also video alerts, I was reviewing them, with the Lord today in the Holy Ghost, and the Lord just showed me three specific dreams and how they all interrelate. So he was putting the lens up to me in the Holy Ghost and really accentuating and emphasizing a prophetic progression that's thematic, okay, approach that is I don't want to de-emphasize what the Lord is saying, but progressive, and and each dream had a message, a thematic message to it. So it's progressive and thematic, and we're in certain phases of it as a body of believers, as the family of God, but he's not just picking and choosing certain people, but he seems to be doing a collective work in Jesus' name. So I basically wrote down key things that stuck out in these dreams that caused me to remember the impact, based on the impact, remember the contents of the dream, because they were so vivid and things like that. But I want to go to, first of all, back to the dream that I had, the dream vision that I had, and I think I spoke about it to a couple of people, but I'm not so sure if I included it in the prophetic broadcast. But the first series of this dream was the Lord was showing me the Jezebel stronghold operating through certain people and how he was going to deal with this, okay? And he was going after that because that seems to really stand, try to get in the way of, and when I say stronghold, I'm not talking about a spirit, I'm talking about mindsets and the people of God, okay? And, you know, and lots of times the deception is that people don't realize that they carry the strongholds. The only thing, the only way that you would know that a stronghold exists is the spiritual aftermath it leaves behind. Like, you know, the stronghold would come into agreement with the demonic entities that are around, and it would cause all kinds of destruction through in social arenas, destruction at job places where you work, places where you go to school to learn, families and situations. And, you know, you'll see the destruction through disruptive communication and misunderstandings that lead, you know, leads to resentment and pulling back and isolation. These are all byproducts of a Jezebel stronghold. You know, left unattended, you know, by the Holy Spirit, because we have to recognize them and we have to release them. It could cause a lot of, you know, destruction, disruption and destruction. Okay, so in my dream, in the Holy Ghost, all right, I was outside, and it was a glorious day, and then all of a sudden, one part of the sky was had turned dark, and the other part was still light, and there was a series of light and dark tornadoes coming and going towards different people. My mother, who went home to be with the Lord, her name was Lorraine. Her name is actually Lorraine Shirley Ann, and I am Shirley Ann Lorraine, okay? And so she came from where she was, and she told everyone, get in the basement. There's a storm coming. And it looked to me like there were several storms. You know, take cover, you know, get inside the basement. And then the basement door opened. And I thought there was a light that came at the base of the basement door, and I was able to follow that light into the basement, and the whole basement lit up. It was really one of those nice basements. It wasn't a scary basement. It was a clean basement. There was nothing in it, and it was a peaceful place, okay? And someone didn't shut the door, and I was wondering, you know, who else is going to come down? When I did get to the bottom of the stairwell, I noticed that there was, you know, a gentleman right near me. I really couldn't make out his face. He was faceless, okay? And but there was a young lady that was heading from down cellar. She had on a go jacket and white pants. And, you know, at first, this lady looked normal. She looked peaceful. She looked, you know, polished, and it was very deceptive, I thought, because I'm like, well, who is this lady? All right, who is she? And she had piercing blue eyes and partially, you know, and blonde hair, and it was in a, you know, bun, and the bun like pulled back like with a scrunchie, and I thought, who is this lady? And does anybody, you know her? You know, I was concerned. I don't know. I was just really very overly concerned. And she searched me out, all right, in the basement. And the first words that she said was, I'm going to kill you. And I thought that was, you know, she had a smile on her face. She was very deceptive. You know, and you didn't even, it was like it made you do a double take. Like, I thought she was friendly. What was all this about? Why did she say that to me? Okay? And then I felt that there was a sense of, this person had a sense of jealousy and envy towards something within me and you know, and maybe others, and I And this spirit, all of a sudden this thing rose up within me. I really believe it was the Holy Spirit, and I just felt like I needed to protect a whole lot of people from this person. I felt like she had injured a whole lot of people, and she starts coming towards me with a knife that had like it was like a knife, small sword, and had like jagged edges. So, like it really wasn't. I looked at it. I'm like, that's really not going to do anything. I mean, it's going to tear some flesh. It's not really going to make a smooth cut. It's not really going to kill anybody, but it's going to do a lot of damage. You know, and it's not going to be good. So just because of the potential damage that this weapon that she had could do, I felt I was called to take it out of her hand. So I abolished all fear. Like it wasn't even around me or in me. I really wasn't thinking. You know, if I wasn't a natural, I would have thought twice or three times, four, five, six times about going and taking this thing out of her hand. But there was no fear because the Lord was with me. That gentleman was the Lord, you know. So then I went up and I approached her. I climbed stairs, I approached her as she was coming down. She was coming at me and she had this shocking look like, she's coming after me. I cannot believe it. And I pulled the knife out of her, okay, and dragged her down to the bottom of the stairs, you know. And I started speaking in tongues. And then I could feel the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I went to go, like, lay my hands on her head. Because she was assumed a kneeling position, and I thought, this is odd. She's assuming a kneeling position, and then her head just turned into a small stub thing that you see on dolls. You know, when you take the head off, and there's like this small stubby thing, and then that was it. And then I woke up. I'm like, what was all that about? And, you know, the Lord was showing me that lady, Jesus, you know, the basement represents the conscience and all the thoughts that are in our conscience, okay? And the young man, the man that was by me, the faceless man, is the Holy Spirit. And that lady is represents the church, but what was coming over the church, the body of Christ, in the mindsets of individuals that make up the body of Christ, because we're becoming more like Jesus, but we're still needing to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. The Lord wanted to deal with the Jezebel stronghold, okay? And we are all subjected at some point in time, because we are in this world, but not, we are not of it, to be tormented by the Jezebel stronghold. And it's much more rampant than it ever was because of the witchcraft spirit that's polluting the atmosphere and different things like that. And we just need to not come into agreement with any of those principalities that carry, that are attached to the rulers of darkness. And, there's a lot of people that are buying into these deceptive spirits that can cause these strongholds to, you know, come around them or even control their thinking. And so the Lord wants to deal with that, and he's saying, you know, he wants his people to humble themselves and fast and pray and repent, because the Holy Spirit's bringing the body of Christ around to that place of repentance. He's going to well up in each individual situations and circumstances that would bring this to the light, okay? And so, you know, we really need to, ask the Lord to make us more aware of the condition of our minds and hearts, okay? And to ask, you know, and not to be afraid to ask him to help you, you know, through this, you know, and it says in the New Testament, you need to take authority and take captive of those strongholds, because you can cast them down one by one, but you need to know what it is, okay? Each stronghold has a certain theme of thinking, and you can tell by the way a person speaks what strongholds are in them because of what they're saying, okay, and how they're saying it. And a lot of them can, you know, the strongholds could be judgments. A lot of strongholds don't even, they stay in our minds, but you know, did you know that your thinking can actually influence your actions, your emotions, the atmosphere, your attitudes towards others, and things like that. But once you're aware of that, you have no choice but to be authentic Christians, believers, and to, you know, to deal with it spiritually in the spirit, you know, and ask the Lord to help you, and ask the Lord to fill you with, you know, His glory, with His power and might, and with the pure thoughts from heaven. Okay, you can find a lot of this through Scripture, through the Psalms, through Proverbs, especially Proverbs, and also in the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you ask for, you know, you're praying in the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, there's wonderful things that you can do. And God will be faithful, because He is always faithful to those who call upon Him. The other thing too is the Lord, you know, so He wants to get us into that place where, through His Holy Spirit, we're just gonna have to, you know, be attentive to our mindsets and what He wants to do with that. Okay. The other one is the exposure. All right. Now, that came at the same time that I had this dream where everybody was given the same vision of Jesus at the right hand of the Father. But I really believe that the Lord, he ranges dreams like a tapestry, and especially when there's themes attached to it, okay? So, I want to talk about the exposure. I had a dream within the last month, okay? Within the last couple of weeks about this great exposure that was happening. And in the dream, I felt like I was taking a trip into Boston, but it was a much bigger picture. It was beyond Boston. It was a city, like, it was cities like Boston. You know, and cities, you know, we are a city on a hill. Your city, I'm a city, you know, we're also temples, and, you know, it's a metaphor, we're metaphors of different things in the scriptures, built from buildings to cities, to lights that shine in the darkness, and things like that, to salt, we're also salt. So these different things that the Lord refers to His people as to describe their spiritual status, okay, the spiritual status quo of His people. So, you know, I was taken to this bigger city, like a Boston, like a metropolis, I noticed that there were some of these people. I noticed across the street, there was this individual that was about ready to rob a bank, okay? And he's like making these plans, making these arrangements. If you looked at this person without, you know, just like outside of, you know, where whatever he was doing, you'd think, you know, I never really thought this person had it in them to rob a bank, okay? And so that's what was going on. His thoughts are so loud. He was actually thinking about it. That's the point I wanted to make. This individual was thinking about it as if he did it, all right? As if he did it, all right? And I can see his thoughts set up the scene around him, because it was appearing around him, but he really wasn't doing it. And then somebody said, go tell so-and-so that this individual is about ready to rob a bank, you know? But I didn't know his name. I'm like, you know, I didn't know if they were talking to me or talking to somebody. I'm like, well, I don't even know his name. And so, but there was a cop that was like standing in the middle of the street.
just watching, you know. And but he was a faceless cop, and I'm like, aren't you going to do anything? And but the thing is, because it was this person's thoughts, okay, and he wasn't even doing this yet. He couldn't, you know, this cop was just had to only observe. And I found out, you know, later on, the interpretation of the cop being there was like an angel, you know, the angelic angels, the watchers that watch, you know, God's people, and also intercept situations that are, you know, will not be good for the people of God, you know, especially if they are in the middle of making bad choices, or they're entertaining bad choices, okay? So then, after a while, this person recognized me. It was like he came over to me, but there was a light that shone around him. Okay, that's why the name of the stream is called Exposure. There was a light that was shining around him. I feel like my dreams are like almost became like the Twilight Zones or something. It'd be really nice to see somebody act these things out. But he comes over to me, crosses the street, bypasses policemen that just seem to be observing, and he says, he goes, "Hey, I know you. I know who you are." I'm like, "What do you mean you know who I am?" He goes, "You're that lady. You're that lady that, like, you see things and you hear things from heaven. You know, how do you do that? And are you psychic?" I'm like, "No." I don't know. Maybe you could call it extras, you know, like ESP. You know, that's how you are looking at it, but that's not that, too. It's not that. And then he goes from my right and sits on my left, and then I could see him clearer. And he said, "I have a message from heaven for you." Okay, and this time, I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking this is going beyond him. So then, you know, I'm looking with my eyes, I'm looking with my other eyes. This isn't a dream vision, and I'm like, this is for the body. And I said, "You cannot escape the gaze of the Lord." I said, "Even he knows your thoughts from afar. You know, that thing that you're going to be planning in the next 2 weeks, the Lord already knows about it, and he's going before you because he loves you so much. Because I said, don't even think about that robbery. Whatever it was, okay, the Lord knew." I don't even know who this person was, but I think it was collective. I think that, you know, it could have been individualistic, and it could have been collective. What I believe is that when we entertain these ungodly thoughts, these beliefs, ungodly beliefs and lies that we think about ourselves, others, and God, okay, the Lord, he takes notice when we start entertaining them through the thinking, all right? And if you're faithful and true to him, he is going to intervene in a lot of it. But you have to acknowledge it as such. And so in this dream, this person says, "This, you know, lady, now that you told me about this, I will not do that offense that I was entertaining or planning in 2 weeks. And now I know that there's a Lord, you know, because I wasn't really, I felt that something was wrong, something was off about this." So what the Lord wants to do to his people, he wants to strengthen the conscience. He wants to heal the conscience. He wants so that people can rightly discern what's right, okay, and true, and just, and faithful, and pure, all right. And he's taking out the spirit of confusion, which is a fiery dart from the world, okay, and from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he is, you know, it's going to be your time to shine, but he's going to clean this out. But you've got to cooperate with, you know, with his grace, okay? You can't hide from the Lord because he already knows, all right? And so that's an hour for a lot of people. That's the great exposure. He's exposing you, all right? He already knows, okay, what you're about ready to do 2-3 weeks down the road, because he's the one that made you. He made your whole personality, and he knows what it takes to get you back on the right track. So we just thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But many times, all right, what keeps a stronghold going strong, all right, in your brain is the fact that, all right, there's something called unforgiveness, all right? So this is my third dream, and I've actually posted this through prophetic alerts and talked about the actual content of it and things like that. But in another dream, I'm driving my bus, okay? And in this dream, I was also in Boston, which means metropolis or, you know, something bigger than it's just an individual. You know, it's the body of Christ. It's something, you know, a big city, okay? And I was in my bus, you know, in vehicles have often been described as, described in size of vehicles, describing people's ministries. And I had my husband with me, my son with me, my oldest son, and everything. And as the bus was driving itself, which we know that it's the Holy Spirit that's, you know, leading us, he brought us to this place, almost like a back alley in the city, and we were like, the wind had blown us there, the wind of the Spirit, and I had ahead of us, we saw the white tornadoes and the dark tornadoes and everything, and they were going after people, and you know, we were trying to seek refuge, and we didn't know whether the storm was starting or if it stopped. And somehow, in the dream, I had the courage of a lion, and I decided I'm just going to go outside to see what was going on with the weather, and we, you know, and look for the refuge. And something was like, "Don't go out the bus." And then I started to go out the side of the bus, and all of a sudden, this white tornado found me, and it wrapped itself around me. And I was being infused by the energy and electrical current of the tornado. And then I was transported in this basement-like setting in one of the older buildings in the city. But it was like, there was part of it had light in it, and it was very clean. And there was a group of people there. And, you know, they were out of the rest, you know, out of the danger zone, too. And I'm just marveling at the looks on their faces, the looks of surprise, and, you know, because they've survived it, whatever it was for them, all right? Only the Lord knows, okay? And so it was definitely storms of different sorts. But all of a sudden, one of the walls came tumbling down, so then the basement had transitioned from a closed basement to a partially open basement with, you know, and something going out to the outside, like it was like a garage basement. And the sky was clearing up, but I heard in the Holy Ghost was the voice of Jesus said, "Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani." "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." Okay, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And the Lord was showing me that many of the people felt forsaken in their life, and He was dealing with the forsaken people. And so, what happens when your heart is forsaken? You have a spirit of unforgiveness because of the so many hurts and everything. And so, so that, you know, so as the strongholds take root, and you're feeling forsaken, you know, the forgiveness has to flow. So, so a lot of these people had to receive the forgiveness of the Lord. So, because the Lord felt forsaken, but then the Lord, then the Father God lifted Jesus up while it was after He died on the cross. But those are the last words that He said. Well, next to the last words, what He said, because the other part was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." So these people were hanging around for, you know, to receive the gift of forgiveness. But as I was hearing this, I saw an angel, part of an angel, you know, I saw the white feathers of an you know, the white wings of the angel. I didn't see the angel itself, just the white wings, just like, you know, going back and forth and everything. And everybody ran from that part of the basement to where the angel was, you know, guiding them. And they were looking up so amazed, and they got on their knees, and they gave thanks to the Lord. And I was wondering what they were seeing. So I went over there, and I looked up, and I looked up the ceiling. I see Jesus at the right hand of the Father in resurrection glory saying these words from heaven, not from the cross, but from resurrection side of the cross, okay? But he was in glory, and he was saying those words. It was like those words are just echoing forever, okay, in you know, in the universe, in heaven, for those who need to embrace them, you know, from the cross. And and then when he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do, you know, because of the states of these people, and where, you know, how they got forsaken, and why they felt forsaken, you know, or even you know, why they persist in fear, how can they not walk in a total victory? You know, some could have brought it on themselves by the way they treated others. But the Lord was going after these people that were in this category, okay? But many people received at that time. So I just want to just ask that, Lord Jesus, that you would pour out your spirit in such a way, and the people that felt forsaken, and the people that are prone to suicide, we tie and bind and break that spirit of suicide, and tie and bind and break that spirit of death thinking over people's minds. Because Jesus took the sting out of death, okay, and he does not will that you would end your life before your time. First of all, he is the author and finisher of your faith, and he is the giver of life, and it is not God's will for you to take your own life. It's the lie of the enemy, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we ask that you would just free them, set them free, set the captives free of that thinking of feeling forsaken and feeling the need to end their life and justifying it too. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that your forgiveness would flow, your healing would flow, and we want to just cast down that stronghold of feeling forsaken by man. And see, man will always forsake you, but the Lord will never forsake you. And the lie of the enemy is that the enemy wants you to think that God has forsaken you. If the Lord did not forsake Jesus on the cross, who took on the magnitude and weight of our sins without sinning, okay, who was a scapegoat for, who was used like a scapegoat for sin, he you know, and he died for you, all right, he will not forsake you, okay, because he did not forsake Jesus. So I just want to just, you know, ask the Lord to just give you that, a greater sense of revelation regarding that and who you are in Christ Jesus. You are the apple of his eye, okay, because he dwells, Jesus dwells within you, and the kingdom is within you, and the Holy Spirit, which is his gift to you, because it's his spirit given to the earth to begin his church in you and through you and with you, all right, he, you know, he wills to save you, and he has not forsaken you, and he sticks closer to you than a friend or a brother, okay? So how close can you get when he dwells in it, and he's living inside of you, all right? So, you know, again, Jesus' words were, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So receive the gift of his forgiveness, and we just ask that you would just let it flow. Let it flow right now in Jesus' holy name. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, I love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Creator singing. Desire, command.
pledge my allegiance, a true love. And I'll pledge my allegiance to Jesus, to Jesus. And I'll pledge my allegiance, a true love. And I'll pledge my allegiance to Jesus, to Jesus. And I'll pledge my allegiance, a true love. To the Son of David, to the Jewish carpenter from Nazareth. When it's all coming down, and when the nations are raging against him, pledge my allegiance to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Jewish King, the Son of David, the slain Lamb. Oh, for I know that he is the magnificent obsession. And he's the desire of the nation. He could turn it all around in just a matter of time. I'm gonna choose this day to love him, to serve him. I'm gonna choose this day to cling to him and him alone. For I pledge my allegiance to Jesus, to Jesus. And I pledge my allegiance to him when it's all. You're the only